Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Tonight's interview is going to be so interesting and entertaining.
Yes, it is. We are talking with phenomenal Anna Christina Cash. She has a new EP coming out in September, and I, for one, can't wait to hear it.
Same here. The EP includes a mix of English and Spanish tracks and showcases the full scope of her heritage, songwriting, and distinctive sound.
I'm really excited to pick her brain about coming to, you know, moving from Florida to Nashville, her background, her family.
In Cuba.
Prior to Cuba, right? And also to pick her brain about what it's like to record in a studio as iconic as Cash Cabin.
Yes.
And that is just amazing.
Yes.
So I can't wait.
Here's a little more about Anna Christina. Anna's story is as dynamic as her sound. She began her career at the age of 6 on Sábado Gigante, signed with Sony Latin as a teen, and became the first Hispanic American to perform the national anthem at a U.S. presidential inauguration.
Now based in Nashville, she records at the historic Cash Cabin Studio with her husband and producer, John Carter Cash. She's performed at venues like the Grand Ole Opry, Madison Square Garden, and the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Hey, musicians. Are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography, and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at Summer Lee Photo. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September, and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm gonna let you do our opening. So we're gonna switch it up.
Oh my goodness. I'm not sure I know what to say. No, seriously, we are so stoked to have Anna Christina Cash tonight on our show. We are thrilled that you are taking the time to be with us, and we're just gonna ask you some questions all about all things music.
Yes. So let's do it.
Welcome.
Well, first of all, tell us where you're coming to us from tonight.
Yes. So I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. I've been here for 11 years. I'm from Miami, Florida originally. And yes, I've been a Nashville resident for quite some time now. It's amazing.
It is a fun place. It is a fun place to visit for sure.
Yes. I'm sure to live as
I'm
well.
I'm sure too. Yeah. Yeah. How's your weather up there? You're getting pretty hot.
We have a terrible heat wave right now, which is, you know, I grew up in the heat, like in Florida and everything, but this is the kind of heat that just sits on you right now. So it's okay. You know, it's just the weather is really interesting in Tennessee. Either it's like freezing one minute, it's snowing, or there's a tornado or there's a heat wave, and it kind of like switches all the time and keeps you guessing. But
so we want to know about your new EP that's coming out. Tell us how it all came to be and all things about it.
So, yes, I'm super excited about it. So it's bilingual. I've been doing country for quite some time now. So the first single that came out was Last Call, and the Spanish version was Su Última Llamada. And this one now is Cheap Margaritas, which is catching quite a buzz online. So it even made you giggle.
Yes.
That's the effect Cheap Margaritas has on people.
That's right.
So we have that. And then, you know, Cheap Margarita Spanglish version. And I'm releasing another single soon, August 1st, called Daybreak. Also has a bilingual version. And now I feel like, you know, everyone's expecting a bilingual version. I won't always have one, but like these three will at least from the EP. Yeah. So it's called the Sunshine State EP Volume 1. So there is going to be a Volume 2, clearly. So I recorded so many songs in the last 3 years that I realized I had a bigger body of work and that we needed to waterfall singles and kind of release them, get people used to the music, release 2 EPs, then release a full album. So I'm still working on the full album version. I have an idea of what EP2 is going to look like, but I still have work to do on it. So it's just, I've been inspired. Listen to me. I've been in Nashville for a while. I found there's something else I did online that we had to post because I did the same thing. It's like, that's who I am now.
Yes.
Anyway. it was at the Opry that happened. After COVID, you know, just after just being in my house, just trying to figure things out. I think I was like pregnant with my second child, like still in 2021, my son James. I have two kids, and Grace and James, my kids. I felt like we were also antisocial, and like we kind of had a thirst for community and for being with people and being around people and just normalcy, just like what we're used to doing, just regular errands. Yeah. Like, I think my husband forbade me from going to the grocery store for the longest time. So I was like, so after that experience, I'm like, I want to write something happy. I want something joyful. And, you know, a lot of my earlier career, I'm really proud of the songs I've done, but a lot of it was like more like heavier subject matter or like very philosophical, or I was in my own head a lot. And while there's still some of that, and there's definitely a lot of empathy in what I do, I just wanted a really fun record. So like everything is either up tempo with a beat or has a fun theme. So I'm just excited to put it out, because I feel like as artists, like we create what we want to hear. And I feel like I needed that joy after kind of this whole thing. And I think kind of like the whole world felt that way. So
yes, Cheap Margarita is really fun.
It and is.
So here's a question for you. I know Margarita is just Margarita, but what's cheap in Spanish?
Barato?
Okay. I actually knew that.
Okay. She's been learning on Duolingo.
So we were doing the translation. So the Erica Ender, who is one of the writers on the track, she is also fluent in Spanish. So she took the liberty of doing the translation.
Very cool.
And she's like, Anna, you know, like we can't really do, and I knew it, we couldn't do like margaritas baratas because it's like too many syllables and it doesn't fit within the rhyme meter of the song. And it just would not work. So she, so that's what happens. Like either like if I'm translating things or someone else is, it's like we kind of make it, it keeps the same theme and the same integrity of the song, but you can't always translate things literally, or it's very cheesy or just doesn't fit the rhyme meter. So people will ask me, oh, is that like easy, these translations? I'm like, no, they're actually like harder than writing songs from scratch. I would rather write you a song from scratch right now than translate this.
I'm so glad that you talked about this, because I was actually going to ask, I was going to say, do you write the songs in Spanish and then put them in English? But now you've answered my question. So no, I know.
So Erica, when she was working on that, she told me, she's like, this is definitely going to be a Spanglish, because there's like, you know, cheap margaritas, you know, Spanish, cheap margaritas, Spanish, cheap margaritas. And it works great.
So I want to go back and ask you, how did you get started as a musician
originally?
Like, yes.
That's the craziest thing. Like I, my sisters were so much older than me. So they had like teenage friends. They were like teenagers when I was like a little girl and everything. So I used to want to be included, and they would try to include me with their friends, but I was a little girl. So I was alone a lot of the time. So I watched a lot of TV, a lot of musicals on TV, a lot of Disney movies. So I loved the movie Annie. So I started singing Tomorrow with Annie. I loved Sleeping Beauty and the Little Mermaid. And you know, I just always loved it. So I always told my mom I wanted to sing. So she put me in voice lessons like 7, 8 years old. And then there's this, the longest running variety show in the world, actually, in Guinness Book of World Records. It was called Sábado Gigante. It was a Spanish language program on Univision Network.
Wow.
It's defunct, but it ran for a really long time, like before I was born. They had a children's segment in it. So they would have a number at the bottom of the TV. It was like, if your child has inclination to artistic things or wants to sing or do anything, call this number. So I'd be with my grandma, who didn't speak a lick of English. And I'm like, that, I want to be one of those kids. Can you call this? So my grandma told my mom. My mom's like, no, all kids sing. Cause like my parents don't sing. You know, my mom played piano lessons as a kid. My dad's engineer, everything's black and white. You know what I mean? So it's like, here I am, and I'm like singing Annie, and I'm like singing Broadway show tunes, and like, it was like foreign to them. Right. And it's the craziest thing. Cause like later, like I have very talented nieces and nephews, and even my kids, they love to sing and all of this, but like my nieces and my nephews will say, it started with you. We saw you do your voice lessons, your piano lessons, all this. And now they're all super artistic, but I didn't have anyone to look up to with all the artistic stuff. So I auditioned for that program. There was the producer, her name was Maite Montenegro. She was from Chile. And she did the same sort of thing in Chile with the networks. And she moved to the US to do this. And I would do like competitions and children's musicals. And it was like, I record these things for these segments in the studio also. So it was like my first time with headphones, being in front of TV cameras, in a huge television studio with huge satellites. So it was crazy. And one thing led to the other. I got the songwriting bug. I get signed a Latin record label, because it's Miami. That's, you know, even though primarily my language mostly is English, even though I'm bilingual, you know, because I went to school, everything's in English, but And again, I'd come home and culturally I was Hispanic and my grandparents didn't speak a lick of English. If I want to have a relationship with them, I need to speak Spanish, right?
Yeah.
So it was interesting. And I've had a lot of opportunities because of that. I would say it's definitely broadened my perspective culturally. I feel very close to my culture. I love it so much. And it has influenced my artistry tremendously.
Oh, you can hear that in your beautiful voice and beautiful songs. So I love hearing about how, you know, that how influences can, you. Yeah. And one of the things I actually wanted to ask about was one of the singles that you wrote, the critically acclaimed, and I hope I don't say this wrong, but Patria y Vida.
Oh,
can you tell us about that? There's an interesting story with that.
Patria y Vida, I actually did not write Patria y Vida. I didn't write it. I did my own version and arrangement of it. So I'm Cuban American. My parents came from Cuba in the 1960s. They fled Fidel Castro's communist regime. Like they're like, my grandparents are like, okay, this is communist. Let's get out of here. Let's go to the United States. Let's have a better life. You know, so everybody worked hard to assimilate. They did everything the correct way. They worked and they contributed to society. But point is, you know, the situation in Cuba is so sad right now. They don't have freedom of speech. They, you know, no freedom of religion. So you get arrested basically by walking to a church in Cuba to pray. So you get, you know, like all of these freedoms that we have in the United States, they don't have. So Patria y Vida, it was written by Yotuel and his wife, Beatrice Luongo, and several other writers as well, like Cuban writers, as an opposition to the Cuban government. It started spreading and there was an actual uprise in the communities in Cuba and they started protesting with the song. So, but then they started jailing all the citizens. It was like the first time that people had the courage again to kind of come out into the streets, protest the government, but you know, like the military shut it down. So now I think most of the writers are not in Cuba because that song is illegal to play in Cuba. I doubt that I could ever step foot in Cuba for even doing my own version of that song and not get arrested, even as an American citizen. So it's quite a big deal in that sense, but I felt very moved to record my own version of that song.
For many reasons. Wow. I have goosebumps.
Because of what my grandparents went through, what my family went through, what my parents went through. So I want to do my own version essentially. And that the original version, if you listen to it, it's more of like a hip hop with various people coming in and out and like Gente de Zona, another Cuban band, they come in and sing. But yeah, my version is very different, a little bit more tropical.
Very cool.
Wow. Yeah, very, that's such an amazing thing to do. And
absolutely.
But so sad that that's the situation. And
we have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7. That's BFDESIGNS 7 on Instagram and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
So I will ask about your writing process. When you're writing, do you start with a melody? Do you start with lyrics? How does that work for you? Like, how do you see a song from start to finish?
Well, oftentimes, you know, I keep a journal with me with words that I find because I get inspired in daily life, really through anything. So I keep a journal with maybe like clever titles. I often like to start with titles. I like things that are a little bit clever that make people think. Or a melody will just come to me, really. And then I'll just record it in my voice memo. And it just like lives there for a while. And then I find the title around that. But like, I'm a titles person. I'm a words person, but I'm also a melody person. I love it all. The melody reaches the human brain faster than a lyric will. I know that. And an example that I learned was like in Swedish pop music, let's say Ace of Base or ABBA. You know, the musicians from ABBA, they don't speak English as like well necessarily as Swedish. So a lot of the words may not make a lot of sense, yet the melody is so universal, and that's what everybody remembers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a good example as to how melody just sticks with everybody, regardless of language. So
that's so true. Mm-hmm. So true. And you know, as soon as you started talking about ABBA, I'm like, I can hear it in my mind.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very, very poignant.
Yes.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask, since we're talking about songwriting,
yeah,
what do you do if you get stuck? How do you get out of writer's block?
Oh, I walk around, I get out of the room, I move rooms, I wait a whole, you know, few days to get back to it. If the song, I don't feel like it's going to work, I just leave it alone. I start a new one. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer necessarily.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We just, you know, a lot of our listeners are people who want to be in songwriting and want to learn. So we ask that so that they don't feel like, okay, I can never finish this. I'm the only one that this happens to.
Yeah.
But you can't think of yourself as a failure, because everything will lead to something else. You know, for people that want to write songs, I found that something else that is very important is being an avid reader. I love to read. And I think just that the more you read, the better of a writer you will become. I learned that actually in my creative writing master's program. I was trying to learn how to write fiction and everything totally different from songwriting. And they're like, if you want to be a good writer, you need to be a good reader.
Did you complete that program?
Did you
get an MFA in fiction?
It was from Harvard University, actually. Yes. So I have MFA in creative writing and literature.
Let's talk about what you're working. I know we know you're working on your EP and all of that.
Yes.
This is my little curiosity. You get to do a lot of recording at that one of the most iconic places in the world, the Cache Cabin. tell us, how's that like? What is that like?
Oh, it's wonderful. I was just working on another project with my husband today. We were actually working on a duets project too, with David Ferguson producing as well. So something totally different than my solo stuff, different from like a lot of the shows that I do, really cool music. Working there feels very homey at this point, because it's a wood cabin on the outside. Mm-hmm. It's like a home, so it's not like a very sterile place at all. It's not corporate, it's not any of those things, so it feels like home. There's curtains, there's like a kitchen, you know. So I enjoy nature. If I get way too caught up in something, or I feel like I'm indoors too long, I step outside, I see nature, I see the trees, we make a fire. And I've had to do that several times today, actually. Sometimes you just have to step away, really, even if you're not writing, even if you're just singing, you know, you just got to like break away.
Yeah. I did catch your online show from Cache Cabin, which was so much fun. And right. I know you guys sell honey too. Tell us a little bit about that.
Cache Cabin honey, yes. So it depends on the harvest. Like last year we had a freeze. I think the hives are doing okay right now. I have to ask John how that's doing, but like usually on the Cache Cabin Honey Instagram page, we'll let people know if there's like a new harvest and if we have a new batch and if, you know, people can purchase it. So
yes, that's really fun.
All kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Did you remember your question?
I did. I was going to say, what do you think is the hardest part about being a musician?
You know, one of the hardest parts of being a musician, I think, is the rejection. I think that's a very important thing to be sure in one's path, in the direction that they're taking. I've heard several no's in my life, you know, because like not everyone's gonna love you. You have to realize that not everyone's gonna like the song you wrote, but you have to take constructive criticism and be gracious about it, but don't let negativity also interfere with your creativity. So I think there are a lot of people that, you know, there are definitely mentors out there. There are people that are supportive. There are peers that are supportive, but there are also people that don't get the picture. They don't understand the vision that you have. And if you're a creative person and you're pushing boundaries, if you're doing things a certain way, you might be met with resistance. But you just have to trust a little voice inside your heart, really, is what I would tell anyone. And you just keep moving forward, because you don't lose every time you create art. Like if you're creating art, you are winning.
Love that. Absolutely. Oh my gosh.
That makes my heart happy.
So when, I know you've got two kiddos, but when you're not doing music, what are you doing?
Man, those kiddos keep me pretty busy. Luckily, I do have some help, you know, luckily, because sometimes when I'm working, I just like the coordination of the pickups and drop offs. So I am lucky in that sense. I know that's a good thing to have. You know, like my daughter's in camp right now. My son's in like swim lessons and music lessons. it's the coordination between my life and theirs and family life. And like, let's make sure everybody has food. And it's like having my
Right.
husband, you know what I mean? It's like having a family is really hard work on its own. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Moms are heroes for
yes,
that reason.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. And especially because you said that your mom worked from home, you know, she was a stay at home mom.
Yes. Yeah.
So,
exactly.
I mean,
but she was always busy though. She always had stuff to do. Like things
same
would
with ours.
On.
She
also took me to all those music lessons that made me the musician I am today. I mean, if without that influence and without somebody driving me and my sisters, all the things that they like to do, like we would not be the well-rounded people or, well, I don't know if I'm necessarily well-rounded. People we are today, basically. So,
yes. So yay moms.
Yes.
Right?
Hey, listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
So for people who have not had the fortune of listening to your music yet, how would you describe your sound?
So it's very melodic. Right now, a lot of the stuff is country pop. So it's the mix of that fusion. And now with the Spanish translations, there's definitely the Latin influence, of course. And in some songs, not all of them, I'll experiment with the instrumentation. I'll do like, you know, a pedal steel with a fiddle, and then I'll do like a bongo or something, you know. So it's, I'm fusing basically, I'm mixing something that's very natural to me, because growing up as a US Hispanic kid in Miami, Florida, and having that culture, but then like loving like country music songs and country music voices, listening to Leanne Rimes as a kid, seeing all these power women like Shania, Faith, Martina, all like that, you know, the early 2000s, 90s heroes that I had essentially. I mean, I was drawn to that immediately. And then like living in Nashville only just solidified all of that for me. And then I like the wheels started turning and I started getting creative and I started mixing things together and I'm having the best time.
I love it.
And that's how it should be.
That's how it should
I
be.
Love
that's
it
right.
too. This is a question we like to ask all of our artists that come on, and just because we think it's an important issue. As a creative, how do you maintain wellness and well-being mentally and physically?
Great question. Not a lot of people ask me that. I'm glad you asked, because that is a toss-up. I'm going to be very real. It's very easy for one to forget themselves when they have like, you know, like their health and everything. When they have a goal, I do work out. I do strength training. I've had to cancel several classes because of my work or like some with the kids or anything. But I hope that once I come to a more of a pause, I'm able to get more of a rhythm back. So it's always a balance. It's a balancing act. It's hard.
Yeah.
You have to prioritize yourself. You have to be still. You have to go to a quiet place. You have to keep moving. I try to move my body as much as I can. You know, whether it's running, hiking, strength training, whatever it is. And I think it just helps the mind and it helps you organize yourself a little better.
Yeah.
100% agree.
Yep.
That's something I think that as creatives, we sort of push to the side because we're, oh, I've got to write, or I have to do this and that and the other. And rather than going, I need to take a break, I need to give myself a self-care. So
I struggle with that because I have like all these goals and everything. So I feel like I need to just like push. So like people, it's usually the people around me that are like, okay, you got to center yourself again. So that's, you know, I sometimes lag in that area, even though I am pretty good about moving and all those things. The other form of self-care that I do want to talk about is prioritizing what's important in your life. And again, it's getting rid of negativity, negative people. It is staying in a positive space, not only for your art and your work, but for your life.
We're going to ask you our four big questions that we ask everyone that comes on. The first is, what was your very first gig? And what would you say is your favorite gig so far?
All right. My first gig, 6 years old, the Miami-Dade County Youth Fair. I sang Part of Your World. I had a pastel multicolored dress, big curly hair, and a bow, huge bow on my head. I won up first place, but like they kind of gave first place to everyone that did well, not one particular person.
So sweet.
And I'm sorry, what was the other question that went with that?
Your favorite gig so far?
To me, it's crazy. I've had a lot of wonderful gigs, but I love playing the Opry. You know, I just played again this week. I made my Opry debut 2019, but it was just never something that, you know, I thought of as a little girl necessarily because of like my background and where I was from. But then I visited the Opry as a tourist in 2006, and it became possible for me in my mind. And I think for some weird reason, I called on it then. And I'm like, I'm going to perform here someday. And then it's weird, like how the universe, if you speak something out loud, it'll surprise you. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I don't think that sounds crazy at all.
I don't either. Amazing. Yeah. We believe in that. Put it out in the universe.
Yep.
Put it out if you want it to happen. I want to ask though about the Opry. Do you keep track of how many times you've been there? Because I know like some people have been like 180 times or, you know, is that important or is it just the actual feeling of being there?
It's the actual feeling. I definitely know I have not been there 180 times. You know, it's kind of like, it's still sort of like in the first digits, I think for me, but like, I think it's so special still, you know, every year.
I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I think we went on a tour and I was like, this is so cool. I'm standing in the circle.
Coolest, the absolute coolest.
So, oh my goodness. Okay. Second question of the four is, who are your influences?
Well, I would say now, it's like I tell people all the time, if listening to my music, it's as if Carrie Underwood and Shakira merged into one person. I would say that's how I would describe my music. And growing up, I listened to a lot of Gloria Estefan, to Selena Quintanilla, to Shakira. But then I listened to Leanne Rimes, Faith Hill, Shania Twain, Martina McBride.
Yes.
Powerhouse voices like Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, like studying Mariah Carey records helped me learn how to layer background vocals. I do a lot of background vocals for other artists and performers in Nashville too, not only for myself. So I feel like Mariah Carey record was like a case study on doing falsetto and background vocals.
Wow.
Wow. How
that's,
cool.
Yeah.
I would have known. That's the way to do research.
Yeah.
We learned something.
Listen, well, if you want to, you want to be a singer, listen to singers. If you want to be a songwriter, you know, read song lyrics, read books. No, it's like to be, you have to kind of do, you know.
Yes, that's so true.
Yeah.
We're mostly, we try to write lyrics more than we're, you know, we're learning the guitar and everything and piano. And so I find myself just every time I put a song on and I go, oh, that was a really clever lyric. And then I start really paying attention to the lyrics. So I totally agree with that. I just think that's it's a neat way of, you know, people who are doctors, they research medical. We research songs.
That's right.
And when I was very young and starting to write, I was very afraid of like putting myself out there. I remember like, I think I played something for my dad. It was very vulnerable. And he was like kind of shocked by like some of my lyric writing so young, you know what I mean? So it's that afraid of a backlash. You can't let fear stop you. You kind of have to be vulnerable and put your heart out on your sleeve and just put it out there for people. And that's hard to do. That's really hard.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I put agree. Out, take a part of yourself out.
And be like, here you go.
Out in the world. Yep. Yeah. Yes.
So is there anything that you were listening to currently on repeat?
Well, I was listening to a little bit of Carol G's new record. Carol G.
But I'm writing with her.
Yeah. She does like a pop. She's mostly in the Latin music. She's like a pop sort of reggaeton vibe. Really cool. Very upbeat. And I was listening to some Mae Estes. I was listening to her work. I really like her. I was listening to just like a bunch of country in general, to some Alison Krauss and Union Station.
Okay. So, and you kind of just answered this, but maybe you want to add to it. What advice would you give to new songwriters or musicians?
Well, I would say keep going, don't be hard on yourself. It's very easy to beat oneself up because other people will do that for you. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion. So the second you put something out there, and it happened even just with the latest singles I've done after not releasing things in years, family will try to nitpick. Friends will try to chime in. But you have to just be sure of what you're doing. And if it's something that you're proud of, you know, that's all it is. You should be proud of it.
100%. That's great advice. Yes. Yeah. We all have that inner critic too, that is mean to us, and got to put that away.
there are people that on the outside, and it's your internal voice that's like, I'm not good enough. I have imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. You have to ignore that. Cause if you love something that much, you just have to silence that.
Yes. Well, and I think we were talking about this on a different episode too, that the most personal conversation you ever have is with yourself.
Yeah.
And so you really need to be nicer to yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. So I agree.
We would love to have you share a song with our listeners. Can you tell us what the song is and a little bit about it?
I would love to play Cheap Margaritas, my new single for you guys. And Cheap Margaritas is kind of a very, you know, sensual summer song about a very human experience, a flirtation, kind of like in action. So it is what it is. And it's about two people getting together over cheap margaritas and things get a little messy. So
and we love it. And we love cheap margaritas. So
that's right.
Check it out, people.
Both of us, this two for one's a little more than catching up. We know exactly what it is. It's a salty sort of truth that's always on our lips. It's our little happy hour tradition, with one hell of a hangover. It's the best kind of bad decision that we would never make when we're sober. You know we're like the cheap margaritas we're drinking. We're only gonna wake up saying, what was I thinking? We're drunk on the delicious, bittersweet kind of feeling. The type of thing you say for a night on the like a neon green light. One taste and it goes straight to my head. You're the reason why the moment feels right, and I'm the reason why you end up in bed. You know we're like the cheap margaritas we're drinking. We're only gonna wake up saying, what was I thinking? We're drunk on the delicious, bittersweet kind of feeling. The top
for your shameless plug. Where can we find your music? Where can we find all of your social media? Do you have Bandcamp? Do you have Patreon? Any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I do have Bandcamp, so it's just Anna Christina Cash. I have TikTok as Anna Christina Cash Music, and then my Instagram, my X, and the Threads, it's all like Anna Christina Cash, Anna Christina without the H, I must say. Everyone likes the Anacristina, like Cash.
And you have a
Wonderful.
website too, correct?
Yes, I have AnnaChristinaCash.com, but it's so crazy because everyone's looking at the socials. I wonder if anyone even
I
looks at
know. I
the
know. I know.
That's the world we live in.
Yes, we always do because I always want to see, oh, is the tour up or you know,
Yeah,
where can
yeah,
we find tickets and that kind of stuff.
yeah.
So I'm a website girl still.
No, same. Oh
Well,
my
thank
gosh.
you so much for your time and for
Yes.
letting us get to know
Oh.
you a little bit. This has been so fun.
Well, it was especially endearing to know that you're from Nebraska because that really is special to me, actually, very much
Oh, I love that. Oh, I
it.
love that too. We love it when people like love Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually it's a flyover state, but
Yeah.
you know. Yes, you know.
Yes.
But this has been so magical.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. And good luck with the new EP.
Well, as a big fan of Anna Christina, that was very fun. And she was so
Oh,
sweet.
what a sweetheart. I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yes, she has amazing, powerful voice. And just to hear her experience growing up, well, being a little kid at six
I
and winning the
know.
competition and all
Well, and
that.
being on that show that she was on, and what was it called? Sabado and Gigante. Like that, I'll look it up. Anyway, no, it was really, really like just hearing her experiences of, yeah, like being a kid and being in the business for so long.
Well, and her sharing, you know, some insights with our with us and our listeners about
Yes.
being a songwriter and the advice that she gave, to me it comes with like a lot of clout because of where she's been, what she's done. So
Yes, it's really
well,
cool. And I was so interested to hear how she wrote the songs in Spanish and English. And so it was so interesting to me to hear that they were a translation and not like an exact word for
no.
word translation, which is, I guess I just never thought about it that way. So
Yeah.
that was really interesting to hear.
And not being bilingual in a spoken language,
Yeah.
I didn't know how that worked either.
Yeah.
I
And
always thought, okay,
it's like word
this
for word
person
translation. Well,
writes in Spanish.
but at the same time, I mean, I recognize that you couldn't keep the rhyme meter, you know,
Right.
if you're doing
Yes.
it not in your own, not your own, but not in the language that you're writing it in.
Yes. And also with, you know, word for word translation is impossible
Isn't
anyway.
possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to do more of an interpretation.
Yes.
So.
Very cool to learn about. And Anna Christina, it was so fun talking with you.
And such a neat connection with Nebraska. I love
Yes.
that.
And we're very much looking forward for the EP.
So
So,
go check her out.
thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.